WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
So we feel kind of stupid, I have to say, because we're trying to look at the camera.
I like where you're talking for me. I like where you're talking for me.
We're supposed to look at the camera
and have a conversation with each other.
Well, I'm looking at you in the camera.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Does that help? Maybe that helps.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk to each other.
Okay. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Mish. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? You're looking really pretty in your white. You look.
Oh, thank you.
And.
Oh yes.
And what does your shirt say?
Cool Jamaican mom.
Is that us?
Of course.
Okay, we're cool Jamaican moms.
Now, the kids might not think so, but...
No, I think our boys would think that we're cool moms. I think so.
Most of the time. Most we can't say all
we
the
can't
time.
Be cool all the time. But I think most of the time they'll say that we're cool.
Okay.
We're still looking at each other, though.
Yes, okay. So we're talking about being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's like the hardest job ever.
It's the hardest job, yet the most rewarding job.
True.
And I have absolutely no regrets about this journey of motherhood. It's been the absolute best journey ever. There are some things I'd probably do a little differently if I had to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah, because we have learned along the way.
Right.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode. But motherhood has just been... tremendous, and I think we could pat ourselves on the back. You know, I think we haven't done too badly.
No, I think both of our boys are like all four of our boys are pretty much settled.
Yeah,
and
they're well adjusted.
They're nice kids.
Yeah,
if I may say so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, like your boys.
I can say it about yours. Yeah, I can say it about mine.
Yeah,
yes, for sure.
And that's all we want them is to be nice. And confident.
Yeah, and just well-adjusted young men. And thank God they are. So congrats, Nikki.
Congrats.
Good job.
And by the way, congrats to the two head boy mom. Yes, congrats to Zach.
I give God the glory for that. And congrats to Dad and to Mom, I guess. You have to take some of the congrats.
Of course. And I think that says a lot about how both of you have raised them.
Yeah, tried. We've done our best with what we know, mm-hmm. as you and Trevor have done. And that's all we can really do, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk a little bit about our journey.
Of course.
Because we've gone from diapers to, you know, these young men in our lives.
Young men. Making their own decisions.
Yeah, from lullabies to life decisions.
Right.
So, tell me about your pregnancy, your journey, how it started.
Well, we're going back way back then.
It's not so far. That's how you started motherhood.
Yeah, I guess. Honestly, I'm not a good baby type person. As I said in the last podcast, Trevor was the one that bathed them a lot. And I just remember both very different babies.
Mm-hmm.
Max, we would take everywhere with us. He would sleep everywhere. You put him down, he'd sleep, mm-hmm. whatever. And he was young when we were in Canada. So mm-hmm. that definitely was a blessing in disguise.
Mm-hmm. I know. I keep forgetting.
And, but Kaylin was a completely different child.
Right.
He was like active and had to sleep in his own bed. And I would just remember one time I was here in this very room. Da, 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 da. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with this child? And I had to recalibrate and say, you know what? There are parents out there who mm-hmm. wish their child would cry, who wish their child would be active. So I'm just gonna...
About perspective, right?
Right? And then I just put him down in his crib and I realized the child does not want to be held up and slapped. He wants to go in his crib.
And he was fine.
And he was fine.
And so are you.
And so was I.
Yeah.
So ever since then, he wasn't a child that we would take to restaurants as such. We would leave mm-hmm. home at mm-hmm. night and stuff. Mm-hmm. But
so here's a good thing. From very early, you saw the different personalities of both boys, and so you're able to navigate accordingly.
Of course.
So for me, my pregnancies were good.
Nice.
I'm grateful for that, and they're very
similar. Yeah, my pregnancies were good too.
Yeah, they were very similar, and of course, having both boys, I was brand new. When I had JP, I was brand new to motherhood, meaning I didn't have little cousins or friends, children. I was just never into this baby thing and changing diapers. So when I had JP, it was all new, and I had to learn along the way. So, yes, we had our two boys 8 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to think that the personalities were kind of similar. It wasn't difficult at all. I mean, they both had their griping and all of that, and I would hug them and walk around the house all night. But it was very, very similar. Both of them are quite similar. I'm still looking at you.
I know.
Both of them were very similar early years. I started to see the changes in their differences in their personalities as they got older. So, but it was always interesting to see the milestones and what they were achieving, and it was just a really exciting time. And as I tell people, you begin to love your children. You cannot imagine how much you love your children, because it increases day by day, literally.
And you know, I was reluctant to have a second child,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, there's no way that I can love another child as much as I love this one child.
Yes, yes.
And of course, there's more than enough of that to go around.
More than enough.
Yeah.
But that love increases, like, every single time you look at them, you just love them a little bit more.
Right.
And you never realize just how deep that love can be until you become a mother.
Right. And that's going back to our point last time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so easy to divert that love and attention to from your husband
to
your children. Because
absolutely.
That's a love that is deeper.
It's unimaginable. You can't tell me to love them this percent. It just doesn't happen like that.
For sure.
Yeah. So, and then they went on from the baby stage, nursery, prep school. You always talk about prep school and creating, at that age, creating the friendship, the bond.
Yeah.
How was it for you at that time?
You mean as a parent?
As a parent, yeah. Because I know you are very intentional with, creating the play dates and so on.
I wasn't. I think I could have been a little bit more, truthfully. But I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I don't know. Like, prep school, unfortunately, I don't know that I loved the prep school era times. Like, prep school came with a lot of stress and heartache for me. Like, I just felt that I wasn't settled in my own self enough to be able to say, this is what we're going to do as a family and as a mother. I remember that at the time in prep school, for instance, Max was everyone was doing this reading program. I don't know if you know.
Mm-mm.
So of course I had to be like, oh my gosh, Max has to do this reading program.
Mm.
So of course I put him in, and that was how I kind of evolved. Like, everyone else was doing it, so I thought I had to do it, until one day Trevor actually said to me, Nikki, do not be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your child, and this is what we're going to do for our child, you know?
And that's a good point that he made, because you and I have come to the conclusion that what works for one family will not necessarily work for another.
Right.
But the good thing, though, is when we can exchange our thoughts and we can say, okay, Nikki did it and it worked for her, maybe I can try it, but we have to give ourselves grace if it doesn't work.
Of course.
But sometimes it just doesn't work.
I know.
But for me, prep school was interesting because, and having them 8 years apart was kind of good in a way, because I learned lessons from JP that I applied to Zach.
Okay.
JP was also very, very helpful with Zach. So mm-hmm. having two children wasn't very stressful, because by the time I had Zach, JP was eight.
Right.
But the prep school years were fun for me, because I was seeing JP come into his own, and he started his photography, he started football, he was swimming, he was doing all these sorts of things, and I thought, here's his personality just forming.
Right.
And then Zach came along, and he was doing the same thing. He was doing karting and karate and blah, blah, blah. And again, his own little personality was forming in it, and they were both getting their friends along the way. from, you know, the different activities that they did. So I found prep school to be very interesting. But of course, by the time they got to high school, I was not as involved in the day-to-day decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I tried to do during prep school, these are the years that, as you said, they can be stressful. I tried to help them to understand.
Truthfully, all the years are stressful.
Yeah, some more than others. But I tried to help them to discern things like friendships.
Right.
Right. You know, some persons that they, some of the students that they would interact with were not necessarily going to be
their long-term friends.
And that happens.
Right.
Sometimes they move away, blah, 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 mm-hmm. they form new friends. And that, I think, that whole emotional topsy-turvy for them.
It is an emotional topsy-turvy when they don't get invited to a
party. Exactly.
Or something.
So it's hard, and you have to be there to say, well, you have to find a way to soften the blow.
Right. While not feeling hurt yourself.
Yes, because we can take it personally.
Of course.
Why is it that my child
exactly.
has not been invited to that party?
Exactly.
You know? So there's a lot that we have to do during that time and trying to keep our fingers on the pulse. Mm-hmm. And ensuring that our children are emotionally balanced while working on the schoolwork and
right.
other activities and so on. So a lot happens during those years. And of course, let's not forget, there is no blueprint.
No. Definitely no blueprint. So what worked for you might not work for me
right.
and vice versa, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times we just don't know.
Right, and we're just going by the...
Yeah, we wing it sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then we have
high school. Yeah, that's another emotional roller coaster, because then you start getting into girlfriends,
the whole adolescence,
heartbreak, and
then they may not talk to us as much, they may not share as much.
Well, you know, I did listen to a podcast the other day, and it said that you really only have your children's full attention mm-hmm. for the first 10 years of their life, because
mm-hmm.
after they're 10, they start getting influenced by their friends,
mm-hmm.
by girlfriends mm-hmm. or boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
and so you kind of lose. So,
1 second, and let's not forget the influence of social media.
Exactly.
That's a scary influence for me, though.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that JP wasn't really, when social media really became a big thing, he had kind of passed that stage.
Yeah.
But Zacho has grown up with social media.
Same with Kaylin and Max.
Yeah.
They have that same
mm-hmm.
different. But yeah, so if I had one regret,
mm-hmm.
I think I would, there's a lot more things I think I could have done with
mm-hmm.
the kids
mm-hmm.
when they were younger, when you're just kind of in it. And it's like, oh my gosh, make cookies? We're
okay,
going to make cookies now?
So my regret is that, is just that as well.
Yeah.
I often think, oh my gosh, why didn't I do more country runs? Why didn't I do more of this or more of that? But it's just now that I'm looking back.
Right.
That I'm saying I could have taken a Sunday to do, take a drive to the river and just sit there
right.
and have jerk chicken on the riverbank. Or teach them to do whatever.
Right.
But it just didn't happen.
Because you think you have all the time that you're going to be able to show them how to boil crab.
And before you know it, the time has gone.
Exactly. Not that I know how to boil crab.
No, but I mean, you could have tried, right?
Well, we actually did it in COVID, because that was a big thing in my family, you know,
mm-hmm.
having crab boiled.
Oh, really?
And you put down the newspaper. So I really wanted them to have that experience. So, yeah.
My dad used to do it, but I never learned how to do it. Dad did it.
Yeah.
And dad was not for cooking anyways. I don't even remember why dad was boiling crab. But anyway.
Oh, love it.
But, you know, it's, and as you mentioned, COVID, during COVID, that was a huge...
I think we needed COVID now that we look back
at it, right?
We
because guess
that.
What? It gave us, it forced us to use the time wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Before, we were busy, everybody's busy doing their own thing. And during COVID, we had no choice but to get quiet.
Right.
And then we opted to be intentional with that time.
Right.
So the boys and Chris would exercise together,
right.
which we hadn't really done before. We opted to go to villas because at that time, the villas were half price, blah, blah,
yes,
blah.
Yes.
And we really jumped on that opportunity to go to these places that we wouldn't have necessarily gone before because we didn't have the time.
Right. And we got an extra year with Max because
yes,
of COVID.
Yes,
so,
yes,
you know,
yes,
that
yeah.
is... And at a different level, too.
Mm-hmm.
The boys really learned to cook during COVID
mm-hmm.
because we would each take a day to cook. I hated my day, but... But yeah, and then now we're here with them
young
as
adults.
Big adults, right?
Are they young adults? Or yeah, they're young adults.
They're young adults. Yeah.
But with all the challenges and the joys and the laughter, the tears, and as we keep repeating that every household is different, every family is different, I know you have some tips.
Though. Yes. So these are tips that worked
for your family.
For my family, right. And my boys, is for all throughout, set the expectations for your children.
Like, absolutely.
Explain to them what you expect from them, what's going to happen if you're traveling. Explain the route to them and why you have to, you know, why the plane is going to be 8 hours and why you're taking snacks. Set the expectation so they understand what's happening.
And I'll give you a really quick example with that. I never had a terrible tooth with my boys. And one of the things that I always try to do, just something really simple, but when it's a store, and I'll say to them, I did it two different ways. Either I would hand them cash and say, this is the money you have to spend. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. Or I'd say, you're allowed to buy one thing.
Yes.
So choose that, whatever that one thing is,
and
you choose that one thing.
Yes.
So there was never no rolling on the floor and bawling at the cashier. No.
We did the same thing too.
They were just allowed one thing.
Like,
and
well,
they listened. They never said, why can't I get two? One thing, okay, mom, and they were good with it.
Right. We gave money, like when we traveled, you had whatever, $50.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it works against you because you walk into all the different stores to see how far the $50 can spread. But, you know, it is. But that is it, setting the expectation.
And that setting that expectation or expectations from so early, it stays with them.
Right.
Because they're always going to be thinking, how should I do this?
To this day, when we just went on that last trip, we gave them each a set amount of money, and they just...
Well, I gave Zach some euros when he was going to Portugal, and I laughed. I said, make sure you bring back half of that, you know. And he brought back half. He said, here you go, Mom. I'm like, that's kidding. He brought back half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What's your second tip?
So my second tip is explain everything to them.
Yes.
Like, tell them why. Why? If they're going to ask you why, but tell them why. Like, I remember, you know, being in a plane... and somebody wanted, I don't understand exactly the time, but like if you ever see children crying or something, it's probably because they do not understand what is happening or why it's happening. So always explain.
Can
why.
I tell you, I read something recently where they said sometimes you have to know as a parent when to give a hug as opposed to a scolding.
Okay.
Because sometimes they just need, they're crying, as you mentioned, the crying. Sometimes you just need someone to embrace them, to say, you're safe, you're going to be okay.
Right.
And then figure it out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that, as mothers, we may not necessarily recognize it in the moment.
Yes.
But certainly.
I know, because maybe there's a time I left Kaylin to cry in the room. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Poor Kaylin.
Don't worry, he's well adjusted.
Yes, he is.
What was your third tip?
Listen and learn. Like, definitely, and especially as the boys get older, I'm sure you're the same. It's like we are learning by the moment from them.
Yes.
And you know, there is a tendency as parents, and as we started, you start out having these bigger, deeper discussions with them. It's like, what do you think you know about this?
Mm-hmm.
But trust me, these kids know a lot, and they have completely different perspectives
on
what you might think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really eye-opening.
Agreed. I've learned a lot from both of them. And I remember a few years ago, there was a situation and I was getting ready to get angry with Zach. And JP was away and I called him and said, JP, blah, blah, blah. And he says, Mom, have you asked Zach his side of the story? I'm like, you know, you're right. I had not really gotten the full story from Zach and I was ready to get to be angry. And in that moment, I really had to understand that let's talk it through first.
Of course.
Get the full picture and then make an assessment. So I had to learn that.
And they teach us too to check our biases.
Yes.
Because they're so completely different on
a lot of things.
On different, on politics, on sex, on, you know,
a lot of
so
things,
many different things. So
we learn from them a lot.
Yes. My fourth tip, mm-hmm. and you and I know are big on this, like when, especially your big kids, when they ask you to be there, go somewhere, if you want to come, mm-hmm. you make sure and you do it.
I've learned that.
You drop everything, I've even if that. You're tired and the bed feel comfortable.
I've learned that. And I'll tell you, JP has invited me many times to, I'll give just one quick example, to Lanky. Mm-hmm. And I found every reason not to go. And during the Christmas, he says, Mom, we're going to go to Lanky. And in the morning, he woke me up like super early. Like, oh, I don't want to get up. I'm like, you know what? I need to get up and go. And I went and we had a marvelous time.
Oh.
And on the opposite side of that, and first of all, it's also great when your kids are inviting you somewhere.
Right, of course.
And on the flip side of that is that Zach had won several years. He had won entrance tickets to Dolphin Cove, and I'm sure he'll laugh when he hears this. And we just never went for no good reason. He hasn't forgotten it. And this is how many years later. He never forgot that he won his tickets, I think 3 consecutive years.
And no, you never
and we
went.
Just never went. And mm-hmm. we had no good reason for not going.
Mm. Yeah, so. That's for sure. Yeah, I know, because when we were just in Singapore, I remember Max said to Trevor and I, you guys coming to the Botanical Gardens? And Trevor and I were like, And I said, Trevor, no, let's go. And he's like,
yes.
Yeah, we're going to go.
And you enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, it was like so nice yeah. to spend that time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, for games,
mm-hmm.
awards,
mm-hmm.
all those school things,
mm-hmm.
make sure you show up because
oh, that was the from kids jump, from Jump Street for me. That was really important.
Yes.
Really, really important.
And I can't lie, in the latter years of like going to high school, I was like, okay, maybe I don't need to go to this assembly. I almost forgot the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that towards the end,
Kaylin's not like,
I know, Kaylin's like, you're not coming, Mommy? So, you know.
And mine is the opposite because Zach is like, Mommy, you don't have to come.
Yeah.
Zach can like, no, Mommy, you don't have to come. And I want to be there at all of them.
Yeah, but you can still go.
Yeah, sneaking at the back sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. And my fifth one is, after all that they've gone through,
mm-hmm.
And that how you have parented them, you have to at some point trust their judgment.
Yes.
Because their judgment that you're not trusting or trusting is your judgment. Because kids pick up from their parents.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
We are their role models. Yes. Sometimes you'll see them acting. It's like, oh my gosh.
Mini-me.
This is where you
Mini-me.
Got it from. Mm-hmm. So we have to trust their judgment. When they bring somebody home and it's like, all I can say is trust their judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If they see something in them, that person.
And you know why we can trust their judgment with all confidence? Because we laid the foundation.
Yeah.
We laid that
exactly.
foundation. So we have to allow them now to make those decisions because we have given them the tools.
So let me tell you a story. So as you know, Kaylin had just finishing off the first year of university.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking for a house now.
Mm-hmm.
And we really preferred that he had stayed on campus, but
mm-hmm.
it's taken long times. He says, mm-hmm. we're going to move into a place with 6 or 7 people. Trevor and I said, 6 or 7 people? With all people that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Kaylin, we're not so comfortable with this. But we did say, well, we trust your judgment. And so anyhow, they've been working through it, and an email came from one of the girls,
mm-hmm.
and it was very like, this is what we're doing, and da-da-da-da-da, and Trevor and I like, okay, clearly,
they have it in control. Yes.
And you know that Kaylin came back and said to us, thank you for telling us that you trust my judgment, because
mm-hmm.
that really made me feel good.
Yeah, that boosted his confidence,
exactly.
I'm sure, yeah. That's awesome, though. That took a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure for you
yeah.
and Trevor to say, let's release it, allow him to make that decision.
Right. And Amanda, the college person, said, because I was speaking to her about it, she goes,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you not think that's the only time they're going to be able to
mm-hmm.
share
yeah,
you with 7 people and whatever? And I said, yeah, you know, it's true.
And don't forget, Amanda knows Kaylin very well,
right,
so she
right.
understands.
And she's closer to that college
yeah,
experience.
Exactly.
Than
so she would see from his eyes.
And as Kaylin calls it, it's the sitcom of their dreams.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love it.
So
So my takeaways, we talked about the tips, but I have takeaways from motherhood. And one of the things that I really want to talk about is, or mention, is ensuring that we talk about self-love a lot, but it's not just about bubble baths and, you know, doing our nails on our toes, or fingers on our toes, but ensuring that we're in a good place, because that energy is passed on to the children without us even realizing it. And I think I lost a few years when my sister died, and I felt like I just wanted to be under this comforter. The kids are okay, they're managed. Mm-hmm. And I really lost a lot of time, quality time with them, because I was just down in this doldrum of losing my sister. And I now look back at it and realize I really should have gotten up and tried to make that healing process maybe a little faster. I probably didn't, because they needed me.
Right.
You know what I mean? They needed me to be whole during at that time, and I really wasn't. And the second thing is understanding.
But before you go on that, I wanted to say something about mm-hmm. that, because the same thing kind of almost, not that my sister passed away or anything, mm-hmm. but the same thing happened to me. I lost a lot of confidence in myself. I wasn't mm-hmm. happy in mm-hmm. doing what I was doing. I felt purposeless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but yet still, I was still pushing the kids to say, oh, you can do whatever you want
but
to do.
But you weren't.
Exactly.
Yes.
And remember, going back to the role modeling, have to go after whatever we want to do,
mm-hmm.
not even for ourselves sometimes, but for
the children. And remember, they feed off of us,
exactly.
the energy.
Exactly.
And the second takeaway is understanding that change is inevitable. Yeah. And we have to, as we go through these different seasons, part of the journey, we have to kind of recognize when something's not really working for us anymore as mothers, and what we have to do to recalibrate and come back to ensure that the season that we're in, we're doing what we need to do to make it work for us.
Of course.
Which is hard.
It's hard because it's there's so many different things that
affect us every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's hard. I mean, motherhood is literally a journey from start to finish, and I'm sure every single mother would say they do the best they can with what they know. And that's what we're doing every day.
Right, right.
And of course, we have to give thanks for those who have advised us along the way,
right.
you know, or our own mothers or aunts or older friends. Some of the old wives' tales that we took from, we just have to be thankful that, you know, we got the advice. And some we chose to use and some we chose not
right.
to. But, you know, thankfully we have, and our girlfriends, of course, that we can share things with and exchange and be vulnerable and understand that we're all just learning as we go along.
Yes. It's a big learning. And
But before we go, though, although there are a lot of challenges, all of that just pales in comparison to the joys.
Of course.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, going back to your other point before, is that when they're a baby and when they're in prep school and when they're in high school, we are controlling a lot of their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We control, even to some extent, their friendships,
mm-hmm.
who they hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you lose control. Like, you can't control which university or college they're going to get
to. Do we lose control, or are we at a point where we're releasing them?
No, but there's things like, in from prep school to high school, you can control whether I want them to go to boarding school,
mm-hmm.
whether I want them to go to Campion or Hillel,
mm-hmm.
or wherever.
Okay,
know?
Those decisions. Okay,
yeah,
got that.
Mm-hmm. But at some point, we can't control if they're going to get a great SAT mark,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to go to university. Or,
mm-hmm.
And we have to be willing to give up on that control, too,
mm-hmm.
and trust their judgment,
yeah,
trust
sure.
the choices, and trust
mm-hmm.
that everything will fall
how it's supposed to.
Exactly.
Yeah But it's just a journey that we continue on. And I wanted to mention, there are so many joys and so many points in my life as a mother that are really just fantastic moments,
mm-hmm.
but there are sometimes just little things that will happen that will really make me say, gosh, this is really worth it, you know.
Right.
And one of those joys I had, and apart from, you know, their the different things that they've done, last year I went to LA and seeing the boys, both the boys picked me up at the airport, and that feeling I had when I got out of the terminal and there they were standing waiting
oh.
for me was a feeling like, oh my gosh, these are my boys picking me up from the airport. And another thing that I like to mention is, this comes when you talk about traditions a lot. This morning, Zach said to me, I make a sandwich every morning, and he says, Mom, I noticed you're not writing any notes on my sandwich anymore.
I was going to ask you about those notes.
I did it for JP too. I always write little notes and drop it in the lunch pan or their school bag. They come back from traveling, there's a note somewhere.
Oh, that's cute.
I've been doing that forever.
That's nice. And that's a nice thing for somebody. Exactly. I wish I had done that.
And Zach says, Mom, you're not writing notes anymore. I'm like, Zach, because you have my marker. It's a special marker that I have to use to write on the poem. So, you know, but I didn't even realize that.
Like, it's such impactful,
yes, right? I didn't even notice that I was writing the notes.
No.
So those little things can make a difference.
For sure.
Can make a difference. And we just do what we think is best.
Right. Yeah. I know, it's just all a matter of how you raise them and what makes you feel like, okay, you've done a good job.
Absolutely. You've done your best. Yeah. And that's all you can do.
I know.
So here's to motherhood.
I know that you were going to ask me about a proud moment.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about that.
Right. So I want you to hear about, you know, because I know you have had many proud moments. But is there anything that was really, that really stands out?
Yeah. Besides, like, you know, both the boys are, you know, they are good boys. They do well. I think my proudest moment was one of my proud moments was when we went on a surf trip, can you imagine, to Nicaragua. And it was this place where it wasn't inexpensive, but the accommodations were very inexpensive. Like, it was rough. It felt rough. They put pots on the table, and you know what I mean, the air conditioning didn't work. Because it was Nicaragua, you couldn't flush your toilet paper down the toilet. It was rough. But Michelle, the boys did not complain at all. Not one thing did they complain about. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I had to say, wow, they really didn't. They didn't skip a beat. And I said, okay, you know.
You're a sigh of relief, right?
Yes.
So, and I'm sure you're really, naturally, to be proud of them in that moment, because they could have eased, that's not what they're accustomed to.
Right.
So they could have easily thought, oh my gosh, it's too hot. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that?
And they didn't. And I really felt proud of them. And I still talk about it to this day. Like, you know, they can go anywhere.
And they'll adapt, yeah.
And they'll adapt.
That's nice. That's good. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be going to Nicaragua based on that story.
Well, maybe I should have done better research before, but yeah. But anyway, it was good.
Yeah.
So that's it.
So that's our episode on motherhood. And
yeah. Okie dokie. Oh, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.